Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be ever acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Today's Epiphany. So, that's a good word. What's Epiphany? Well, Epiphany is a revelation of something, a discovery, an aha experience. It is, show you my dated education, it is a form of gestalt, of discovery, you know. Aha. It's like when your children went astray and you corrected them, they had an epiphany at that point in time that maybe they shouldn't have done what they did. Yeah. Well, this is not much different. We've got something really neat happening here. Traditionally, we've listen to the story of the three wise men or the kings as, well, that's nice. It's entertaining and don't really understand everything that why it's there, but it's a nice story. Well, I want to tell you, this is a major deal. These wise men coming from the east, and where in the east, we don't know because we're not told, but we can guess, maybe Babylon, because Babylon's been the seat of the dispersion of the Jews and brought back. And so it's the center of the pagan world. These men are educated men. They're astrologers. They interpret meaning from the stars, and obviously they are well educated in terms of other literature that's out there, because they refer to the prophecies of old from the Old Testament. Now, understanding that these guys are not Jews, we don't know a lot about them other than they're well off, and they spent a long time on the road trying to get to Jerusalem, to where this something is happening. And they're really not sure what, but they know that it is unbelievable, because they've come in a mode of worship, which is interesting as we listen. And they do all the politically correct things. They go to Herod and have an audience with him and tell him, "Now we're coming to see the King of the Jews, and we want to worship him." Now, that ticked off Herod, because he considered himself the King of the Jews. But he was nice, and he did like good politicians, says one thing and has intentions for something else, as we know later on. So he says, "When you find this child, come back and tell me so I can worship him too." And they leave, and they find him in Bethlehem. And when they find the child, they bring in gifts. Now, the gifts are not unusual. We bring gifts to the church all the time. But they bring three gifts in particular. They bring gold, which is a sign of kingship. They bring frankincense for the high priesthood, and they bring myrrh for the sacrifice that's going to become. And in their process, they worship Christ. Now, they were originally going to go back to Herod and tell him what they found, but God intervened in a dream and said, "No, you guys need to take the back route. Don't take the interstate. Go the side roads." And they left. And we don't hear much of anything about the wise men after this point. You know, they come on the scene and they leave, and it's a nice little story. But is it just a nice little story? Because you see, something really dynamic happened here. A group of non-Jews, pagans, find and focus on the incarnation of God. Big fancy word, God putting himself into man. Incarnation. And it opens them up. Opens them up to listen to the dream that God sends them to go back another way. But you know, it's bound to have changed their lives. Because you see, you cannot encounter the living God without change. And you can choose which way to change, but you will change. There's no question about it. You can choose to reject him, or you can choose to accept him, but you will do something. So what happens when we encounter the living God? The majesty of the divine in the everyday world. Do we see that? I mean, at Easter we get the feeling of how God worked in our world, and we get some of that feeling. And Christmas we get the feeling like, yeah, that's great and it's good. But do we have encounter the majesty that the wise men encountered when they came before the small child to worship? Where does my journey take me in all this? How do I encounter the living God? I encounter him every Sunday up here at the table. You see, I don't know how anybody can make it through the week without coming before the majesty of God at the table. Because everything else is just miscellaneous. We can sing songs and we can do liturgical dance and we can preach for an hour and a half, but none of that means anything if you don't come and experience the majesty of the living God. And you notice at the table, it's not the body and blood of the dead Christ. It's the body and blood of the living Christ, so that we might have eternal life. It has to be real. If I have difficulty, this is where I need to bring my difficulty. The old school of thought in theology was, if you got a problem, don't come to the table. Straighten your problem out. And I'm telling you, if you got a problem, you get your backside up to the table. Because that's where you're going to encounter God. And he will set you straight. He will help you. He's the one that's going to make the difference. Yes, there is nothing wrong with going and reconciling with your brother and asking for forgiveness. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, if that is a problem, come to the table and you can receive the strength to get that resolved, that you can't do it on your own. We need to understand, we can make a God and then manipulating, or we can do these things over here so that we can be worthy of God, or we can come to God and have him tell us he loves us and that we're loved and valuable and have a purpose and we have worth in life, so that we can go and resolve those things that need to be resolved. We can do that with him. Remember in the scriptures, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that's not just a nice saying, folks. That is what the table's about. Today starts the week. It does not end the week. It starts the week. I can't go this week unless I come come to the table. Not in arrogance, but in hope and in confidence that God loves me. So what do we do after that? Because you remember, at the end we have a prayer and it says, send us out into the world to do the job you have given us to do. How are you going to know the job that you've been given to do if you don't come before the Lord and ask? Here's a beautiful spot. The table is the center of our life. The table is Jesus Christ, who's alive. And he challenges each of us. When you encounter the majesty of God, what are you going to do? Are you going to ignore him? Are you going to be like the wise men from the East? I don't understand what's going on. I know something fabulous is going on. I'm going to go where you point me, and I will worship, and I will obey and follow. No, I'm not an Anglican. No, I'm not a Baptist. No, I'm not a whatever. But I will follow you, Lord. It works for me. I think it'll work for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.